And I want them to be barrels of fun.
Barrels of monkeys.
I almost said monkeys, but I was like, monkeys are fun anyway, so we'll just do that.
And if
Yes.
there are monkeys, just don't look them in the eyes.
Yeah, they will throw shit in your eyes and then you'll have pink eye.
Yeah, that's how you
Yeah.
get pink eye.
Yeah, from monkeys,
And
you get
AIDS.
HIV from monkeys and the pink eye. That's a
And that's a rusty venture.
little less known fact. That is a rusty venture. Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
This is the most important thing in the universe. What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another fun and festive episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and with me this week is David and Randy. How are you two doing today?
I am doing amazing, and this is your official Avengers Age of Ultron spoiler warning. Go away.
Wow.
And I'm super. Don't go away, please.
Well, only go away if
Pull
you
up
don't
a
want to be
chair,
spoiled.
Stick around.
Yeah, there's nothing to spoil because it's just like the first movie.
Except with, like,
but
other
that's
stuff.
That's neither here nor there, because first we have to talk about our new project, our new venture, our business venture, our rusty venture, as it were. We have joined forces with two other wonderful people. Actually, have we announced yet about Seventh Matrix? I'm doing it right now. Now with it. Fuck
it. I don't think we've announced Seventh Matrix for the other one.
Let's just do this all crazy-like. We have our own special little premium content page where you will have access to special blogs, posts, freaking podcasts, interviews, all kinds of fun stuff. And you get to it by subscribing to our Connect Pal page, and that is just www.connectpal.com/thegeekinitiative. And the Geek Initiative is where we combine forces with Sci-Fi Talk, which you hear us plug every single week with Tony Tolato, and then you also have Mr. Tim Byers with The Full Bleed, and we are also bringing in freaking Mr. Rod Faulkner from The Seventh Matrix. We've had him on the podcast twice. He's a fine young man, and I believe he's from Arkansas, and he is one of two go-to guys when it comes to science fiction news. So this is amazing. And I think we even have one more announcement, but I don't know if we're ready for that just yet as far as our fifth partner. Are we good on that one yet or no?
We're good, but I don't know if you want. Well, maybe we'll let him do a. We'll do a separate rollout for him.
Okay, fair enough.
We'll tease it next week.
Ooh, who's the man behind the curtain? I wonder.
Oh,
he's fit. I know that much.
He is very fit.
So yes, the Geek Initiative. That is at connectpal.com/thegeekinitiative. And we will be throwing all kinds of crazy shit at you that you will only have access to if you subscribe to this premium content. I encourage you to check it out. It's going to be amazing. And not only that, but we will give you shout-outs on the podcast. You can direct how you want the podcast to go. We can make our own special shows just for you. Whatever you like. If you want to just see Randy dance, and I've only seen him dance once, and that was at my wedding.
And I was drunk at the time.
Yes, we could do it. You could be like, dance, monkey, dance! Do it!
And nobody wants to see that. Don't ask for that.
You will be obligated. So it's a lot of fun, and we encourage you to check it out. Anyway, speaking of fun, The Avengers Age of Ultron came out this last weekend. Dave was lucky enough to see it last week pretty early, and he kind of said some things. He ultimately gave it, what, a B+?
I gave it a B+.
That's a good score. For a movie that you had problems with, you still came out on top with a B+. So that's exciting. Randy and I saw it with all the regular folk throughout the weekend, and I enjoyed it. I think I'm in the same boat as you. I'd probably give it a B, actually. But Randy, tell me, what'd you like about the movie? Let's hit the highs first. Before Dave just blows us in the face with his load of negativity, why don't you tell us what you
Both
like
barrels.
All right. Well, we've talked about it before, but I'm going to bring it up again. James Spader just killed it. He knocked it out of the park voicing Ultron. I absolutely love that. But at the same time, I was frustrated because it didn't seem like we got as much Ultron as we could have in the story. You know, he was gone a lot. We didn't really get to see him menacing as much as he could be. So I almost felt like we lost a little something with Ultron. One of my favorite things was the Vision. I thought that came together beautifully. I thought it was a really cool character. I mean, one of the things that put a big old smile on my face was when he just so effortlessly picked up Thor's hammer and handed it back to him. And Thor's standing there like, what the hell just happened? Right. And just went with it. And I don't know. I really just dug that character. I liked a lot of the new characters. I was bummed that they killed off Quicksilver so quickly. Spoiler alert. But
I heard you gave the spoiler alert.
I know. I feel guilty when I say shit like that, though, just because.
Do you think that was the fuck you to Fox? Like, hey, if you... We're going to kill this character, and we killed his dad off-screen, and his dad's Magneto.
All right, no, you know what? Okay, here's what I think is going to happen. And I apologize in advance if I'm kind of sidetracking here. But, okay, so at the beginning of the movie, we see Hawkeye getting repaired, you know, with his super skin regeneration stuff going on, right? Okay, let's look at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They were able to bring back Agent Coulson. Who's to say that Quicksilver couldn't be brought back to some degree?
Because Joss Whedon killed him, and that's what he does.
And there is no Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't referenced in the movie, so it doesn't exist. Coulson is dead.
Yeah, and Joss Whedon even said that Coulson's dead in this movie.
Okay, but he's only dead because it would have taken too much explanation to... Because if somebody doesn't watch the TV show and they only watch the movies, and all of a sudden they bring back this character who's very much alive in the actual Marvel universe, they would have to drop some heavy explanation in the movie. And they just didn't have time for that. As it was, I mean, a ton of material got cut out of that movie, and it was still almost 2.5 hours long.
Well, did they ever explain in S.H.I.E.L.D. why Coulson's alive?
Yeah, it's 100% explained.
Oh,
and
is it? Okay.
If you were watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. leading up to the release of Avengers Age of Ultron, they beautifully segue into the beginning of Avengers. Because the end of the last episode that aired last week, they get the word, they know, they found the stronghold where Loki's staff is located, and at the end... Coulson is talking to Maria Hill over the video phone, said, well, all right, we've done about as much as we can do. Time to send in the Avengers. And then, boom, cut to the movie.
So it's basically like, hey, we got this show. We did the recon. Now that there's actual real work to be done, we can't do it on the show because we suck. Let's go to the movie.
It's all the setup and all the fun stuff that happens in between. And the same thing with... How it so flawlessly led into Captain America 2. There was a lot of events with like Hydra and everything. All that stuff was perfectly timed with the release of Captain America 2. Yeah, with Winter Soldier, that it really created a wonderful synergy between the cinematic universe and the redheaded stepchild, the TV universe. Anyway, the crux of what I'm saying is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a good companion to go along with any of the movies in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So it's a 22-hour trailer for the films.
Don't think of it as a trailer. Think of it as just, I don't want to say filler, but...
Required reading.
In between, yeah. Optional reading. It's not required. It just, it enhances it. Okay, look at it this way. Okay, look at... Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. There's a book that takes place in between that's really badass. You don't need to read it because it didn't exist until like 20 years after those movies were made. But Shadows of the Empire really tied those two movies together. Tied the whole room together.
Yeah, I was going to say, that rug really tied the room together.
I like Coulson. I wish he had showed up.
Yeah, it would have taken too much screen time to explain how somebody who you watched die in the previous movie is all of a sudden back and alive.
Right.
What did you like, Justin? What got you hard?
I really enjoyed Black Widow. I thought she kicked some serious booty, and I liked her Tron suit. Her Tron suit was amazing. That was the first thing I noticed when the movie started. I was like, "Ooh, she's got a Tron suit." That was me. That's how terrible I am. But I liked Hulk. I thought Hulk was... Any scene that Hulk was in, I enjoyed. I do wish that he wasn't so much of a P-word, in that he was, like, self-deprecating all the time.
Right. Always, like, in a corner.
Yes. I feel like he's amongst friends, and that he needs to embrace who he is instead of being afraid of who he is.
Right, he's like with the only group in the world that can kind of sympathize with him.
Yes, and take care of things if it gets out of hand. And I don't like how he needs to be this loner. And I didn't like how, I understand it, I guess, but I just feel like if any of these people, like Scarlett Johansson, you know, obviously there's this love interest between the two, Bruce Banner and Black Widow, and Roman. What's her name?
Romanoff,
yes. And I feel like because she's willing to take a chance and she could pretty much destroy any human being on the planet, like she's, of all the people that are out there, she's 100% capable of defending herself against him. And I feel like he is cheating themselves out of a wonderful life together.
I agree.
And that bothers me.
I loved her line. I feel like
he called it quits.
I loved her line, "I adore you, but I need the other guy."
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing that didn't sit well with me. And also, if I think I was expecting a little bit more of a rift between Captain America and Iron Man at the end of the movie. I was going into this movie expecting to be prepped and ready to go for Civil War, and that certainly wasn't the case. We had this idea, you know, the word of the day was accountability for about 5 seconds. And that was when Hulk went crazy and he was under mind control and the whole team forgave him anyway. And it seemed like everyone forgave Tony Stark for getting Ultron to be all bad too. So there was no real rift. It was just they all kind of went their own way, but they weren't angry at each other. I thought it was going to end with, "This is all your fault. Get the fuck out of here. I never want to see you again," kind of thing.
I feel like the conversation that happened at the farmhouse where they're chopping wood really kind of helps set up the rift that's going to happen between them for Civil War.
Yeah, and I guess I just thought it was a little bit too tame. Like, I didn't want them to be necessarily angry with each other, but I wanted there to be a clear line in the sand, and I think that line got kind of...
I agree with you.
Dissipated a bit.
I think it comes down to, you know, mind control as a weak story crux, that I think the much more interesting way to destroy the Avengers would have been, since Ultron has all of this data that Tony Stark has, is that we find out that, you know, Tony Stark has all of these contingency plans, and now Ultron is like tearing the Avengers apart from within by manipulating them, and they're all like, "Well, where do you get all this information?" And then Captain America realizes that Tony Stark's got files on everyone, and now Tony Stark and Iron Man are Tony Stark and Captain America pissed at each other, and it would just set up the rift so nicely for Civil War.
Right, and that's what they did with Justice League, when Batman had a contingency plan for everyone, for all the Justice League members, and when they found out about that, they were mad at him.
Yeah, I just that was my main gripe, was the whole mind control stuff, because we saw it in the first Avengers, and it was just right back to it, and I did not like it.
I did like the part. So Hawkeye has always been the least interesting Avenger for me, and I thought that he crushed it in this movie. You know, he complained that he didn't have a lot to do in the last one, and it sounds like they listened, because he had some really good scenes, some of the best ones, in fact. And I really think that when he was, you know, the whole time we're set up like he's going to die. There's no way he's going to make it to the end of this movie. He's making promises. He's getting wounded. He's affecting the team. And he was just an all-around great personality to have on screen at all times.
Yeah.
And I was just 100% prepared for him not to make it to that final battle. And then, you know, he's saying, "Look, man, we're on a floating city. We're fighting a bunch of robots. I got a bow and arrow, and none of this makes any sense." That was hilarious. Or when he wanted to just shoot Quicksilver in the back, and he's like, "No one would ever know." I was like, "I don't know. I saw him fighting Ultron. I guess he didn't make it." that was great. I mean, that was awesome. That was Jeremy Renner being amazing. And I loved every second of that. And I wanted more. And I 100% appreciated that they gave this character something to do. Because he was just like a wannabe Legolas in the last one.
"Yeah, keep up, old man." He's like, I could do it. I could shoot him in the back. No one would know. People would be asking, "Where's Quicksilver?" I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. He's fighting Ultron."
That's hilarious. And I agree with you too, Randy, as far as Ultron not being menacing enough. it would have been pretty neat to see him go into some public place and just decimate people. So we really were afraid of him. But that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, when push came to shove, he was another in the endless string of Marvel villains who was kind of forgettable. The only still all they got is Loki.
Right. And that's another thing, too. Like, Thor, I feel like Thor could have handled this entire thing all by himself. And they had this idea of taking him out of the story so he can go and figure something out and come back with this letting Vision be the thing that helps them. But we didn't really get that sense. You know, he disappeared for a while, he took a little bath, and that was it. I feel like he could just take on everybody all on his own. Yeah. Maybe I'm naive in thinking that he has that much power, but for whatever reason, I just feel like Thor's the one that levels the playing field more so than any other character out there.
Yeah, I think the 3 hour and 15 minute cut, I think the character who got chopped the most is Thor. And Joss Whedon's been pretty vocal about that. You know, he had this whole thing with Thor planned out. There was going to be this, you know, his mind vision was going to be a lot longer. It was going to involve Loki. And then the whole thing where he went into the cave and he went into the pools of whatever mysterious thing that was. He was going to be possessed by this creature. And then Alexander Skarsgård was going to have to, like, or Stellanar Skarsgård or whatever, was going to have to, like,
communicate with
him. And it was this whole big thing. And Disney basically said, you can have that or the farm. The Hawkeye farm. And he chose the Hawkeye farm, I guess.
Right. And I'm glad he did.
Yeah. There was some fun stuff there, like Captain America tearing apart a log with his bare hands.
Yeah.
He's pissed.
He's like, don't touch my pile.
Yeah, don't touch my pile.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So you mentioned Joss Whedon. He's been pretty vocal lately. It's almost like he's taking his toys and going home. Like he's acting.
Screw you guys, I'm going home.
Yeah, he feels, I'm getting this childish perception. And it we see this with some other big name directors where they just kind of have their own way of doing things, and it's my way or the highway. And then the second a movie's released and they're done with it, then they can just be vocal about how horrible the entire process was. Do you want to walk us through that and how it share your feelings about Joss Whedon?
Me?
Yes,
I would love to.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's, especially since this movie just opened, just had a huge weekend. You know, hopefully it'll have legs. But in all of his interviews with everybody, with Empire, with Movie Hole, with Collider, with everyone, he's really shitting on Marvel and saying, you know, basically saying what a terrible, like, nightmarish process this whole thing was. And it's just, I can't imagine that him as a successful filmmaker would be so vocal against such a large studio, especially when he knows how movies are made. He knows that 3 hour and 15 minute movies are not acceptable. You know, unless you're Lord of the Rings, there's no need for a 3 hour and 15 minute movie. We can all say, oh, I would love to see a 3 hour and 15 minute Avenger movie, but we wouldn't. There would be lulls and we would hate it and we'd bitch that it was too long and poorly paced. And for him to complain that Disney made him make these cuts is just silly. I mean, he
it's
wants
one of those
to
things, you know, you're getting yourself into that when you get involved in a big studio picture like that.
Yeah, and he's making this big thing about how he wanted Spider-Man and he wanted Captain Marvel in his movies, and all of a sudden when they were done wrapped, Disney was like, oh, by the way, we got these characters, and I think his exact words were like go fuck yourself or something like that. Like, he actually used the F word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like, now you tell me fuckers or something,
yeah,
like that.
Something like that. And it's just silly. You know, like I said, he's talking about the Thor extended scenes. He's talking about, you know, that he had more for Hawkeye to do, that, you know, he's all about female empowerment in cinema, but, you know, Black Widow, you know, really her purpose is to be Bruce Banner's girlfriend / not girlfriend. And so he's been real negative, and it's actually created this underground swell to where there's quite a big backlash against Joss Whedon. As the internet does, it frequently overreacts and people are taking it too far, you know, talking about like killing him and stuff like that. And that shit's never cool. Yeah. I mean, that stuff like that is never acceptable. And if you do that, you're just a piece of shit and you should just delete your social media accounts and like go crawl in a hole somewhere. But yeah, I mean, like people talking about like, I want to strangle him by his neck beard and stuff like that. And it, you know, there's no place in society for that. But, you know, people who have valid concerns are also taking to Twitter and saying, you know, maybe you shouldn't bite the hand that feeds you. You know, sure, Joss Whedon was a big deal before the Avengers, but now he is a huge deal.
Right. And I always kind of pictured him as like one of those like cult following director types. Mm-hmm. You know, he had amazing content. Like Buffy's one of my favorite shows ever. Firefly obviously is a huge cult following now, but it wasn't successful when it was on the air. It was one of those things that's kind of picked up steam afterwards. And, you know, he was given an amazing opportunity, and it just seems silly to, like you said, bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah, I mean, I understand he was very vocal when Edgar Wright left Ant-Man, because he felt that, like, he brought Edgar Wright into Marvel. Like, he was, like Edgar Wright was in with Marvel from, like, 2006 when they first launched Iron Man. But it wasn't until Joss Whedon, you know, made the Avengers and said, hey, you need to give Edgar Wright the reins to make Ant-Man. You need to give James Gunn the rights to make Guardians of the Galaxy. And he became this, like, kind of overprotective father. Like, I brought these two into this Marvel family. One of them is prospering unbelievably in James Gunn. The other is floundering because, you know, he's a very visual filmmaker and it's not going to fit into the master plan that is Marvel. So he has to go. And I think that Joss Whedon took that a lot more personal than most people thought. And I just don't think the complaint with the first, that when he was first announced as the director for the first Avengers was, is he experienced enough to do this scale of film? You know, he succeeded with the first Avengers. And I think the second Avengers, I think, just took too big a toll on him. I don't think he was ready for the, it's hard to follow up unless you're James Cameron. It's hard to follow up a very successful film with another one.
Mm-hmm. And the Cameron took a long break.
Yeah, Cameron took 17 years off.
He had the much-deserved R&R, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, and Cameron was able to put a lot of his own money into, if we're talking about the jump from Titanic to Avatar, he made a shit ton of money on Titanic that he was able to turn around and make Avatar with. So it's not like somebody was handing him a silver tray full of money or something like that for his next film. A lot of it he actually funded himself. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
and Avatar was his own. Yeah, and Avatar was his own IP. So you know, he had a lot more say over it. To where Whedon is playing in someone else's playground.
Yeah, yes. If you look at it from the viewpoint of a high end creative like Joss Whedon, he is used to creating his own content or really playing in his own sandbox. And when he is given such gigantic properties like Marvel, like the Avengers, he's going to have a lot of money people looking over his shoulder, and everybody is going to have their own input, and everybody's going to be trying to cock block his creative decisions. So I can see where that would be incredibly tiring, and why, even though it might sound like a dick move, like why would he ever badmouth Marvel or Disney? I mean, seeing it from his point of view, he's been nitpicked for how many years during the production of these last couple movies? He just wants to get out from under their thumb, do his own thing, and not have to worry about answering to a goddamn committee on how he feels his movie should be cut or paced.
Right. Right. But there's already I saw some article where he was saying that he had interest in doing a DC film. I'm thinking to myself, are you Justice fucking League. Nuts?
from Avengers to Justice League.
Right. Heard of that Snyder folk. But I mean, he knew what he was signing on to, and it seemed what this reeks of to me is like someone yelling in a crowded room, "Don't you know who I am? I'm Joss Whedon. I made Angel and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. How dare you question my motives and my gumption and my filmmaking skills?"
I agree. I 100% agree with what you said. He knew what he was getting himself into. And that's, I totally believe that to be true for the first one. But once he found out how the Avengers, how it worked, I really don't know why if he was this disenchanted after the first one, why he would have come back for a second, unless he was under contract or something. But
I mean, yeah, and aside from Avengers, it's not like he's got this like long litany of like films that have been successful. I mean, he had a good TV career, but I mean, he's not like J.J. Abrams, who parlayed TV into like film superstardom. I mean, with the exception of the Avengers, I mean, he's got so-so hits. I mean, he's not, his his film resume is not going to blow anybody away.
Right. It was after the release of Avengers where you said, okay, this guy has carte blanche now. He can do what he wants.
Yeah, he can write his own ticket. And he did. Yes. He did, you know, Much Ado About Nothing And then he did
Cabin in the Woods.
Getting sued. Him and Drew Goddard are getting sued for stealing it like 6 years later. It's weird.
But I'm with him. Yeah. But I mean, and also this is really shaped up to be its own little opus where it's all kinds of shit going on. It's several movies. We're talking like somewhere around 20 movies when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
That's quite a picture, and it's going to need to evolve and change, and that's just the way it goes. Like, I mean, I get that you have your story, but certain things are going to need to change based off the success of other films.
Yeah, and I don't want to shit on Joss Whedon. I think it's amazing. His humor was spot on. Like, I don't think he totally had Iron Man down. I don't know if that's a Shane Black, John Favreau thing, but I found Iron Man funny where he really shined. Like, I really liked his Captain America. I really liked his Thor. I wish we'd gotten a little bit more, but I think that his direction of Chris Hemsworth was amazing. Like the whole thing where he's like gloating about, you know, he can lift Mjolnir and you can't, or Mjolnir, however you pronounce it. And like Randy said, with the Vision, where people are like, can we trust this guy? And he lifts up the hammer and just hands it to Thor, and Thor's like, all right, let's go, guys.
Yeah, I like when he was concerned when Steve Rogers moved it for a second.
Yeah.
He was like,
that just look of like fright.
Yeah.
He's like, if I lift this, I'm the king of Asgard. Oh, of course.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Good what did stuff. You guys think of Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch?
I was okay. I didn't like the accents.
No.
I don't like the accents at all. And I wish Scarlet Witch was even more powerful than what she was. You know, at the end when she just was like, and all the robots just died?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted that from that from the get-go.
But I got the impression that she's still kind of new to her powers.
She is. I know. I just, knowing how powerful Scarlet Witch is, it was weird seeing a tamed version of that.
Yeah.
She basically unmakes reality. And
yeah. She's a super being.
Now, forgive me if I'm going way off course here, but doesn't she get it on with the Vision in the books?
I don't know. I don't read that shit. I don't read.
She gets it on with her brother, and like, or she gets on. No, she gets on with Wolverine, what? With like her brother watching from like the bushes.
Oh, is that in House of M? Is that when that happens?
It might have been House of M. Yeah, like she's having sex with Wolverine, and Quicksilver's in the bushes, like outside her window watching. like when we're done, Google.
He's curious. He's still growing. Unbelievable. He's trying to figure things out.
What did you guys think of the new Avengers at the end of?
Oh, that looks like a D squad, man. Holy shit. I mean, I like all those characters, but that's not who I'm going to call first.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I call the Ghostbusters before I call those guys.
I would call
those Iron are like the Man. Filmation Ghostbusters with the ape. Yeah.
I would call any of the original Avengers alone before I called the entire team of the new Avengers.
Yes. You know, as hardcore.
I love Don Cheadle, and War Machine as an idea, as a concept, is kind of cool. But let's call it what it is. It's just a discarded Iron Man suit with some other dude piloting it.
Right.
It's just like Iron Man light.
It's like Iron Man with a machine gun instead of the cool little
pew. Yeah.
The Uncola.
Yeah. And you got Falcon, and you got Vision, and you got
Scarlet Witch. And you got Romanoff, and you got Captain America.
And Hawkeye.
And Hawkeye. Oh, yeah.
No, Hawkeye's retired.
He's done, right?
Yeah, he's at the farm. Yeah.
He'll come back. They'll all come back.
Renner's only got one more movie in his contract, and that's Civil War.
Ooh, maybe his death will spark the Civil War.
Maybe. Everybody else has still several films. They've all renegotiated for longer contracts, but Renner's still only got one movie left.
Because there were so many points where I thought he was going to die in this one.
I know. Over and over and over again. He's like, I'll fix it when I get back. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, we met his family. He's dead.
Yep.
Captain America's gonna have to like bring his ashes or
and
something.
She the wife told him that she said, you know, they need you, you gotta get their back, and she's like, I know that you got their back, but they need to get yours. I'm like, He's gonna die.
Yeah, totally.
Or when they all come in, she's like, I know all of your names already.
Yeah. That's funny. Good stuff. So I give it a B. Randy, what do you give it?
I'd give it a solid B as well.
That's good. Not quite the A. Room for improvement.
Above average.
Yeah. Better than the first.
There you go. 664 million worldwide.
Would you guys say that it's better than the first, or do you guys still like the first better because it was like a monumentous occasion to like assemble all these superheroes?
I don't know the answer. I like Winter Soldier and I like Guardians of the Galaxy.
There's a certain magic in the first one. I don't know. I really liked the Hulk in the first one. It didn't. This one took such more of a serious approach with dealing with the Hulk. The first one was much more playful, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I appreciate that tone of the first one better, but I definitely enjoy them both.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry.
Yeah, and I think that was what I liked about the first Avengers was everyone kind of had that moment. Like, that was obviously the Hulks, but like everyone had like a moment in it. Toward this one, it wasn't there wasn't really anything you could pinpoint for each character. But I think this one's better paced than the first one.
And the moment where the Hulk picks up Loki and just smashes him like a rag doll back and forth.
Yeah,
that was pretty good.
That was pretty brilliant.
And when he punched Thor after they took down that giant floaty slug thingy.
It just takes off.
And then Iron Man did it to him in this one.
Yeah, and I liked in the first one when they do the team up. And they did it in this one too, where like Iron Man would like shoot the shield and then Cap would bank it off to hit the enemies. You know, they were throwing the shield all over the place and Thor was knocking it around and everybody was just having a good old time. Everyone was a Captain America in this movie.
Yeah, they're all team Cap.
The most versatile metal in the world, and they make a frisbee.
Yeah. Oh, Avengers.
Robert, California.
Good times.
Yes.
James Spader. Star Wars. We got some Star Wars news.
Yeah, May the 4th was yesterday, so.
Yeah, hey, happy Star Wars Day, guys. Hey, you know what? Fucking Revenge of the 5th.
That's right.
And now as we're recording, it's Revenge of the 6th, which sounds more like Sith to me, so I think I kind of like Revenge of the 6th better. But, yeah, Star Wars Day. You know what I love? I love Boba Fett. You know I don't love?
Boba Fett movies!
The idea of knowing too much about his past. Yes. I mean, I was kind of upset by seeing him as a snot-nosed little kid in Episode 2 as it is, but I figure, all right, that's okay. I mean, there's a lot of shit that happens from when he's that child to when we get to see him in the original trilogy. And here we go making a movie that is going to explore some of that mysterious gray area that I just don't want to shine a light into. I don't want to know. I want to preserve that mystery unless they can do something that really knocks my socks off.
Well, it's not that you don't want to know. It's that you know, he's pissed. He has the armor. He has the ship. He becomes a bounty hunter.
Yeah, we've seen him in the Clone Wars. We've even seen him already in between Episode 2 and Episode 5, or 4, I guess, technically, if we're including the special editions. Yeah, there's I know there's tons of adventures that he's gotten into in that period of time that we could watch, and I'm sure it'll be entertaining. I like that character so much because there's not much backstory. There's not much to go on. I like the mystery, and This puts me in an awkward spot. It really does. I still love Star Wars, and I want to love all the anthology films, but Boba Fett is kind of like sacred ground to me.
I like it when he held his dad's head in his hands, and then it fell out of the helmet.
Did it? No, I don't think it fell out of the helmet.
That's what
it
I saw.
Have.
That's what I saw.
It falls out when it's going through the air. You see the shadow.
Yeah, you only see the shadow. You don't see the actual
head. Wouldn't that have been awesome, though?
Head. Yeah.
Picks it up and then the head falls out, lands on his shoe.
And he freaks out.
Yeah.
So, what the fuck?
You should put ice cream in that helmet. Like when you go to a ball game.
Like a baseball game.
You get a helmet nacho.
Yeah. Oh, we're talking.
That's terrible.
It's amazing.
Sorry, I still got bits of dad's skull in here.
That's the topping. Like how when you go to Cold Stone and they mix the shit in.
Usually you got to pay extra for brain matter.
It's like a berry bloody Sunday or something.
Sunday, bloody Sunday.
Get Lucas on the phone. I'm going to give him this idea.
Nope. Yeah. Disney now.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that that Josh Trank isn't on board to direct it anymore.
Who is Josh Trank and why do I care? What is he
directed
done?
Chronicle, and he's directing the upcoming Fantastic Four. And Fox is pretty open that he has been a nightmare to work with. And if rumors are to be true, it was not his decision to leave this film entirely. That he may have been told to get the fuck out of here. If you remember, he wasn't at Celebration and he was supposed to be.
He was supposedly sick.
He said he claimed he had the worst flu of his life. And now all of a sudden he's not there over, you know, the, of course, ever popular creative differences.
He wanted a tiger.
But he's been on, he's supposedly been working with Lucasfilm for about a year. So some of his concepts may very well still be in the final product, but he will no longer be associated with it.
That's too bad.
That's interesting. Do you think it's because they said he's difficult to work with, or do they not have faith in how Fantastic Four is going to do, and they're already kind of prejudging their estimated performance of that and Nakuma off of Star Wars just like kind of as a preemptive strike?
Yeah, it sounds like that Star Wars, much like Fantastic Four, is a film that is – it's not just a one-man show. You know, gone are the days where George Lucas makes Star Wars and he's the master and the creator and he's – the final say. These movies now are made by a lot of executives have their say in it, and it's very corporatized. And sad maybe, but it would take a director like Spielberg or someone with a lot of chutzpah, maybe a Zack Snyder, the amazing filmmaker, someone like a Nolan. Very few filmmakers now are getting these blank check directing jobs that they can kind of do it as they please. And I think that because he came from kind of the indie world, Chronicle was kind of an indie film. You know, he was used to having master control, and I think he expected to take that same level of input and control and final say into Fantastic Four, and he quickly learned that Fox didn't work that way. You know, Kinberg and Singer and all these people that control Fox and Miller, they were basically saying, no, we got to do it this way. And he did a lot of pushback, and I think that Kathleen Kennedy just didn't want any of it.
Push it back way back.
Mm.
Speaking of Kathleen Kennedy, she's all about the Indiana Jones 5.
So am I.
Are you?
I am.
Like Chris Pratt relaunch with Spielberg, right? That's the one you're into?
I'm into that. With a Captain America crossover? Like when he was still back in World War II era? Sure.
Shit! I didn't think of it. Now I am on board, Rand. Tell me more of this Captain America World War II Indiana Jones crossover, and my money.
It's amazing. Did you not see what I posted on Facebook a couple weeks ago?
No,
some comic book artwork that was a crossover, an Indiana Jones Captain America crossover, and I was like, this needs to happen.
Oh my god,
that's amazing. I mean, Disney does own both of them. Come on, why not? I mean, if they're going to do a reboot with the younger Indiana Jones, they obviously can set it back in World War II era. And, you know, we got to be able to utilize – there's got to be some point in the Captain America timeline that we can explore and do a little team up with Indiana Jones. I'm kind of kidding because I don't know if I necessarily want to see that as a movie. I think it would be
Buddy
great
Cops.
As a comic book. Exactly, right? I think it would be great as a book, but I don't necessarily see it happening as a movie. But yeah, anything I can do to get another Indiana Jones movie, and even if, God forbid, it is another, and I don't want to say God forbid because I still would enjoy and cherish it. If it was another Harrison Ford movie, I would be down for that because I really think they would go into part 5 with something to prove. Like, look, we know how the public reacted to part 4. Hey, look at this great shit we did with Star Wars. We can do it with Indiana Jones too. We can bring it back. We can bring it back from the ways that Lucas kind of took it off course.
I don't think they know that people hated it. I don't think that Spielberg and Harrison Ford...
It has been the butt of every joke out of anybody's mouth.
But it made enough money to where I don't think they realize that it's hated. I think they just think like hate is gonna hate. Like they hate us because they ain't us. But like, I bet if you talk to Steven Spielberg, he thinks that Indy 4, Crystal Skull, is a good movie and that people like it because it succeeded at the box office.
They hate it.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure that he has gone on record as saying, look, I know the script could have been better, but I was doing it as a favor for George, blah, blah, blah.
There was a lot of his buddy.
No, there was a lot of that going on. And I mean, I don't want to put quotes or words in anyone's mouth because I'm not looking at any of the material in front of me right now. But that was more or less the gist out of, you know, in retrospect, looking back years later after Crystal Skull, people still asking him about, hey, you know, what went on there and what's going on with Indy 5. It was something that he realized it wasn't his best work, and it was just they did it just to make another Indiana Jones movie and not necessarily to put the best quality on the screen, I think. So I think if everybody had the chance to do it again, like I said, they would feel like they had something to prove or something to make up for, and they would give us the Indiana Jones movie that – the best Indiana Jones movie that they can, the one that the fans want.
When I was watching the Force Awakens trailer for like the 200th time, I was kind of hit with this sadness that Han Solo's old now. Like, he was always this young, vivacious, like, scoundrel, this rogue. And I don't know why it was starting to like weigh on me that like I don't know if I want an old Han Solo. Like, it, I mean, I do, because, you know, more Han Solo is always good. And but it was the character of Han Solo is almost like an idea. Like, yeah. I'm really hoping that Oscar Isaac's Poe Dameron kind of fills the role of like that young scoundrel. And so it kind of goes with Indiana Jones too, to where Indiana Jones is a little more timeless than I think Han Solo, but I think I'm ready for a young, vibrant Indiana Jones again.
I'll agree with you there. If there's going to be a transition to be made, I think I'm as ready now as I'm ever going to be for it. And I think if it's well cast, it could...
Like Bradley Cooper?
You know, that's the other name that I've heard kicked around. And, you know... It could Cooper work. How old is he, though? He's already in his 40s, isn't he?
That's Harrison Ford's like 90.
Okay, well, Raiders of the Lost Ark, he was 35. So I mean,
I bet Cooper's right around there.
If we're going to do an Indiana Jones reboot or recast, I say get somebody in their early to mid-30s so that you get, you know, at least a solid decade of indie movies out of him.
He's 40. He was born in 1975.
Cooper was?
Bradley Cooper, yeah.
I think he'd crush it as Indiana Jones.
That means that Mystique's going to be in the movie, too.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence has to be in the
movie. They do everything together.
Yeah. She can be the new Karen Allen.
I would be down if she was an indie girl.
She's a fine young woman.
Yeah, she's done making X-Men and Hunger Games movies, so you know she's got to jump on a new franchise.
Yeah, another big franchise.
Yeah.
That movie would make stupid money, man. She's another one. You know, you mentioned Scarlett Johansson as a, you know, a drawer to the box office. I think that
that's true. Yeah, I didn't think.
Was it kind of set off air? Or action star?
We're talking off air. It was I was saying that Scarlett Johansson was the only real bankable action star, but I guess
female
action star. Jennifer Lawrence, you know, I mean, obviously she, Hunger Games is enormous and. You know, she's killing it as Mystique, so.
Mm-hmm. And I would call those action roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so kudos to you, Justin, for keeping me on my toes. Mm. There are now two females in the universe.
In the whole world! Wow, that's terrible. Well, okay,
so. What does that say about her?
I really like Zoe Saldana. I know that she makes a lot of movies, and some of them tend to be flops. You know. She leads. There was that one where she was...
Colombia?
Yeah, Colombiana, I think is what it was really called.
Yeah.
And then she was in that other movie where it was a comic book movie where they weren't, like, they were bad mercenary type guys.
Oh, Loser? The Losers?
Yeah. That movie made, like, $5.
Yeah.
But then, you know, obviously Avatar, she was really good in that. And Star Trek, she kills it in Star Trek. And then they're going to have 3 more Avatar movies.
Maybe 4. Cameron thinks he has a script for 5, too.
Right. Plus Guardians of the Galaxy, obviously, she killed it as Gamora.
Definitely.
So, I mean, not necessarily starring roles, but she's one of the people that I'm excited to see about when I go to an ensemble cast movie.
Yeah. She's the nice part that rounds out the cast.
Ooh, hey, speaking of ensemble casts.
Gorgeous. Yes.
Suicide Squad.
Pictures. Yeah. We were talking about the D Squad earlier for the new Avengers class.
Oh, man.
Suicide Squad. These guys are a bunch of criminals that are being exploited by Waller, right? Amanda Waller. She's those bigwigs in the government there with the covert ops, and she gives these criminals an ultimatum: you do what I need, and then you know I might let you live, kind of thing. And so in this movie, we finally got but. You know, last podcast we had talked about Jared Leto. He was revealed. He had all those crazy tattoos, the crazy hair, kind of a 50 cent grill for his teeth. He was pretty crazy looking. Now we get to see a million different characters, all of the Suicide Squad in sort of like a class photo. And did you post this on geeklegacy.com by chance?
Tyler did a while ago, yeah.
Okay. So in this
a while ago being Saturday, I think.
So for those of you that want to check out this image, you can Google it wherever you want. Just go, we would appreciate it if you went to geeklegacy.com. However, you can just Google Suicide Squad movie and bam, this picture will probably come up. But going from left to right, top to bottom, why don't we start with Slipknot? Okay. Master Assassin utilizing ropes is the description.
That's interesting.
That is. He's like a magician. And that excites me. He could tie knots and untie them by pulling the cord.
I bet he was a hell of a Boy Scout.
Yes. He was a fine young man. So right off the bat, Slipknot. Not exciting whatsoever. Next, we have Captain Boomerang. This is Dave's buddy, Mr. Jai Courtney.
Is he my buddy?
I think so. You like everything that he does.
This cast is a who's who of, like, B-bad movies. We'll get to Joel Kinnaman in a second.
So, what has Jai Courtney done lately that has made money?
He's in the new Terminator movie that's coming out. He was in the terrible Die Hard movie.
Oh, yeah, that movie's awful. And Divergent, right? The same guy?
And yeah, he was in Divergent.
Jack Reacher he was in, but I don't remember him in that movie. So, yes.
So, what, does he kill people using boomerangs?
Yes.
Captain Boomerang? That's like such an on-the-nose name.
This is because these comic characters were created so long ago, and that's how... That's how they do it. They put a bunch of dumb names in a hat. And they're very practical names. Whatever somebody has, that's what they're named. It's kind of silly that way. So, like, Enchantress. Whoop-de-doo. She's a sorceress. That is not exciting whatsoever. Next we have Rick Flagg. He's kind of the leader of the Suicide Squad.
Yes, he is. He's RoboCop himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what's shit, that's who that is?
Yeah, Joel Kinnaman?
I didn't recognize him with the facial hair.
Yeah.
Without the robot mask on his
face. I didn't recognize him without all the Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto.
Who was originally cast as Rick Flagg? Do you remember? And he dropped out?
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy, yeah.
Tom Hardy. Okay.
Ooh, that would have been fun.
Maybe. This whole movie's probably going to be terrible.
Well, now Tom Hardy wants to be the Punisher.
I can see that.
I'd be down for that, too.
And Stephen McKnight wants to direct him as the Punisher. So.
And, you know, every time you post one of these Mad Max clips, I'm kind of kicking myself for making fun of Randy because really, really getting into it.
I watched some video this morning. It was 20 minutes of behind-the-scenes footage from Mad Max, and it was all just practical effects.
Yeah.
And just madness. And I was like, oh, my God, this movie looked like it cost so much money to make, and it looks so fucking good. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So goddamn excited for that movie.
I might have to agree with that one, Randy.
Looks so cool.
I will have to eat my words on that one when it comes out.
It looks so much like the 80s movies, you know, the Road Warrior and Beyond Thunderdome, like all the shit that I love from those movies is all back here, but like with a vengeance, just like more faster, more intense, you know.
Right.
Just,
and everyone's batshit crazy, and the sun will do that to you. And I grew up in the desert, and you just start doing and saying and acting like a crazy person if you're out in the sun too long. That's real. Mad Max is real. It was shot in 29 Palms, where I grew up. It's a bunch of crazy folk. So next we have Harley Quinn. This is interesting too because this is a pretty high profile character. We all love Harley from the animated series that was on so long ago, 25 years ago.
Oh my god!
I know.
And I love this Everything about Harley Quinn in this picture, I love.
You do.
Kind of how you were talking about like the Joker, how he just had this fucking crazed look on his face when he's doing that like, laugh. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with Harley Quinn. She just looks. I can just see her saying, "Okay, Mr. J."
Right.
I can just see that she is obsessed and in love with the Joker in this picture. And Joker's not even mind. Joker's the one taking
the picture. Yeah. I'm with you.
And she's like, "Hey, Mr. J."
Right. Okay. Next, we have Deadshot, who is played by Will Smith. He's a guy that
two eyes.
Yeah, he's a master marksman. But I think that anybody would be one if they had a crazy eye that pretty much put the target where it needed to be.
Pretty much.
He was a cheater.
Yeah,
but he looks pretty cool in that outfit, though. I mean, he doesn't look like your standard Will Smith.
Well, he's got the bald head. I like him with the bald head. I think he looks good. Did he have a bald head in I Am Legend?
No. I'm trying to think where else he's had a bald head.
In that one movie with his kid where they crash.
After Earth?
I thought he had like a tight military haircut.
Yeah, he always has like that tight military look, like an Independence Day look.
Yeah.
Did he not have a bald head in I Am Legend?
No. Same thing. He keeps it tight.
Oh, yeah, he does keep
bald.
It.
I mean, he looks tough. Looks pretty cool bald.
Yeah, I like him. I like him bald. I like anybody bald. If you're bald, I like you.
How about says that? The dude who just cut off all statement. Of his hair.
I know, right? Willingly.
Yeah.
It's not like I need Rogaine or anything. I made a conscientious decision. Next we have Mr. Killer Croc. I think he looks terrible. This picture just looks dumb. Not a fan.
But it almost looks like a slightly less bulky.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, it looks like a slightly less bulky version of the Thing.
Mm-hmm. A green Thing.
Yeah. Like green and gray instead of orange rock.
Right. See, I like Killer Croc from the Arkham series in the video games. I thought he looked badass. I don't think he's ever looked any cooler than that in the history of the character. And he's an interesting one because he really became a bad guy just because people bullied him. He had a skin condition, and people made fun of him, so he went crazy. It's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
They didn't have It Gets Better back then.
Yeah.
If he would have saw videos of other little crocodile people, he might have grown up to be a better...
Speaking of crocodile, wasn't he actually more crocodile in the animated series? Like, Killer Croc was actually... I don't know what the backstory was, but he actually resembled a little bit more of a crocodile.
Yeah, he had like a tail and everything.
Yeah. So that wasn't just a skin condition, that was something else.
Genetics.
Yeah. Then there's El Diablo.
Yeah.
Whose power is looking badass with facial tattoos and fire manipulation.
Yeah, he looks like a Day of the Dead kind of guy.
Yeah, totally. Dia de los Muertos.
Exactly.
Like a dancing skeleton.
Not impressed.
Yeah.
He looks like a greaser without any grease. Then lastly, we have Katana. Another one of those practical names.
I bet she's got a sword.
Yes.
And looking at the picture of her, I bet she is of Japanese heritage. She has a Japanese flag as an armband. And then a white mask covering half of her face with a big red dot in the center of it, also mimicking the Japan flag.
And she's played by Karen Fukuhara.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Did give away. Fukuhara. She wields cursed soul taker sword. Huh. Well, that's kind of cool.
Now it only takes cursed souls?
Yeah, not the good one. Not the good ones.
So we're okay. We're in the clear.
Yeah.
As far as I know. That business on Kate and Moidia, that doesn't count. Oh, dang.
And no Joker on there. So.
He's taking the photo.
He's taking the picture. No Amanda Waller. No Viola Davis. No Ben Affleck. No Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, yeah. He's in it, too.
Yeah, they're both in it. Well, they're both listed
and
in the
Batman's
credits.
In it, too?
Yeah, Batman and Lex Luthor are both in it.
Man, have you guys seen J. Olivia's Batman Assault on Arkham? Animated movie?
No.
It is
actually, yeah, I just saw it yesterday.
So good. I love that movie. I thought it was amazing. And honestly, I don't think the Suicide Squad will ever get any better than that. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's amazing. Came out, what, like last year? Yeah. And it's a barrel of laughs.
Bellyaching laughs.
Mm-hmm. Batman's in it. Fucking Joker's in it. Harley Quinn has the sexo.
Ooh. I like it.
Yes.
Not this hot Harley Quinn in this picture, though.
No.
Miss Roby.
But the regular Harley Quinn. The one that everyone knows and loves.
But I'm now in love with Miss Roby's portrayal of Harley Quinn.
Yeah, you haven't even heard her voice or seen her act. Just this one still is enough to seal the deal for you.
Her personality is coming through.
No, I agree.
I'm on board.
Me too. Jump on that train.
She's got blue hair, Randy.
I know, like cotton candy blue.
Ooh. What do we have next? Fucking Game of Thrones? Holy shit, what a snooze fest again.
Again. But hey, it ended interesting, right?
Yeah, honestly, I think the most exciting part about that show is the scenes for the next week. And they always edit it in a way to where you're like, oh my god, some crazy shit's gonna happen. But then, nothing ever really does.
How did it end, Randy? I've forgotten already.
This is where it ends, where you think it looks like Grey Worm is gonna die. And
Bart doesn't sell me.
Oh my god, yeah. So is Selmy dead?
I hope not, because I was just telling Lynn that he was a badass, and then he gets chopped up. Oh, I was like, you made a fuck out of me, Mr. Selmy.
Well, the scenes from next week's show, there's some, looks like some form of funeral, so
yeah,
I'm hoping
it's like
not
an old white guy on a table. I was like, this is bullshit.
B-O-O.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking to myself, I was telling Lynn, I'm like, man, there's all kinds of crazy shit that goes down in the city, and this guy puts on his fucking cape and saves the god dang day. And now, they don't even need to have that whole thing happen. I think that might be their way of cheaping themselves out and saving themselves a couple of bucks. You know,
saving
without
dragon
some
money.
Yeah, saving dragon money, exactly. I was about to say. Is this supposed to be fire and brimstone and death? And now we just get one dead guy, one old white guy that no one gives a shit about.
Yeah.
No, we haven't had the opportunity to care about Selmy. And here was a chance where he could have went to that room and cleared out that hall. And then we would say, holy shit, motherfucking Zorro just cutting up people.
Yeah,
that's a missed opportunity, Mr.
I like the scenes with Baelish and Sansa. I'm sad that those scenes will end now that Baelish is going back to King's Landing. But it was good to get some of the history of Rhaegar and Lyanna or whatever. So I really liked that stuff. I'm hoping they're setting up that whole thread,
right?
And that becomes more of a thing.
And how he said you learned from the best. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
He's groomed her for success.
He gave her the tools.
That she needs to be her own boss. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I got the tools. I got the talent.
Well, I hope that Stannis just comes in, whomping and a wailing, taking over, and then there's like a standoff, and like Sansa just fucking cuts Bolton's throat.
Yeah.
Gonna number six the place.
Yeah, we're going to town. Whomping and a wailing.
And remember, we know nothing because that doesn't happen. That hasn't happened in the books yet.
Right.
Yeah.
They get
Stannis
kinda
has not made his way to Winterfell.
He's trying. Getting
slowly.
Napoleon action going on.
Yeah, we're getting it like real time description in the book.
Yes, winter comes.
Finally. End of five books. Winter finally comes.
Sort of. It's like the pre-winter.
It's
the
like
northern
the north winter.
Yeah. They always get it bad.
Oh my god. George R. R. Martin is a liar. Keeps saying winter's coming.
Yeah, that's a bunch of bullshit. Eventually the Starks are always right. Winter's coming. What you think about the more Dorne action? We got some crazy broads out in the desert. Again, the heat. The sun makes you crazy. And these women, they're trying to hide under the tent, but it's not working. You go mad when that sun's beating on your head.
I have no interest in anything Dornish since the Red Viper died.
Well, I like the part with Bronn and Jaime. And I'm like, why doesn't he just catch the fucking sword? That's what I was telling Lynn. I was like, I was like, Jesus Christ, you got an awesome hand. Just grab the goddamn blade.
Your hand is like a shield.
Yeah. And then she's like, ooh, I bet he's going to use that move in the future. Like, you goddamn right. That's a key to victory. That goes under Jaime Lannister's 100 keys to victory.
Yeah.
Get a solid gold hand. Use it as shield.
Yeah, I like the sand snakes. That's probably the only Dornish thing I kind of like. I like the idea of the sand snakes. You know, we don't really see much in the way of in the books, so hopefully that'll be a little more prominent in the show.
I think that Jaime Lannister should carry around a briefcase with different poses for his hand. I think he should have an angry fist. I think he should have like an open hand, like if he wants to clap. Maybe a pointing hand, like if he's angry.
He's like one of those action figures that come with the different hands.
Yeah. How hard could that be? Just popping it on and off.
I think the open hand could actually be really useful for sword fighting, because if you're you have like four opportunities in between fingers there to be able to catch the sword.
Exactly. You have to catch. You can't miss. No sun in the eyes or you're fucked. Now you're going to need a gold arm instead of a hand.
Yeah, so don't polish your gold hand that day to reflect the sun into your eyes too much.
Yeah.
Speaking of Brienne of Tarth, we kind of skipped over the Star Wars. Do you see the Star Wars photo of Captain Phasma?
Mm-mm.
Yeah,
was it on geeklegacy.com?
It was. It is. It's a nice like full body shot of her chromed stormtrooper with the cape and all badass.
So
and
no cool capes.
No, she's so got capes. Cool. She's rocking the cape. She's big enough. She's tall.
That means she's going to get sucked into a jet of... like one of the turbines on a Y wing, die.
Like ah. Just wanted to bring it back to Brienne of Tarth. Yeah, she's got to do something interesting.
Nope, she does not.
Other than be mean to Pod.
She sucks. Was she even in this episode?
No.
Thank God. That's why I kind of liked it. Oh man, what'd you think of your girlfriend, Melisandre? Getting all naked. I know you like looking at her.
I do have a thing for Melisandre.
But you like her pregnant and lactating and spewing shadows all over the place.
I do like her naked squatting, giving birth to shadow babies.
Yeah, that's hot.
Like, ooh.
We don't see that anymore. Oh, and that's another interesting fact, is she said, now, last time you went to war, you left me behind and it didn't work out so well. And he said, no, that's not going to happen again. I'm not going to leave you behind. That is another interesting segue from the book.
Yes.
Things have already started to change.
Yeah, and I also like that Stannis... I like the scene between Stannis and his daughter. I know it was kind of a pointless fluff scene, but I like that you saw that he loved his daughter. And
it humanizes him. He's an emotionless bastard, and now all of a sudden you like him. It gives you a sense to root for this man.
Yeah, the whole thing with the Seven Kingdoms is... you know, you want sons, and you know, the wife is complaining like, I didn't give you a son, and like the daughter's like, I'm ugly and hideous, and you know, he's like, they told me I should send you away and this and that. He's like, but you are Princess Shireen or whatever the fuck her name is. Your place is by my side and I love you. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
I'm like, but did I what's going on? I like Stannis and Sansa all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's a bizarro world. Yeah. It's fucked up.
Yeah. I hope Sansa just fucking just guts one of the bones.
Oh yeah, I want her to dick punch Theon Greyjoy and it have no effect because there's nothing there. And then I want her to have stupid Ramsay under her, wrapped around her little finger.
Yeah.
That'd be good stuff. I still think that his old girlfriend's gonna be trouble. Ramsay's old girlfriend that helped him chase down that
maybe prisoner. Maybe Sansa will push her out of tower. Like, she'll corner her and be like, I know what you're up to. Yeah, I know what you're up to. I know you're faking it, blah, blah, blah. And, like, she just, like, Sansa puts on her Baelish charm. And, like, they kind of, like, are talking while they're circling. And she's not paying attention. Next thing you know, she's like, well, I guess we can't be friends after all. And, like,
yeah.
Throws her out a window.
Bitch!
They don't have any. Bitch! And then like MacGruber style, like peas on her and stuff.
MacGruber!
More buildings need to have a moon door.
Yeah.
Yes. Just for convenient throwing people out.
Even basements need a moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Earth's core.
It's just called a pit at that point. A bottomless pit.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Do it. I think that was it for my highlights. Bartizan should have just cleaned house. That was it. That was a missed opportunity for show. But unless him dying is serves as a way for the bear, Jorah Mormont, to come back. You know, he's on his way back with little Mr. Tyrion.
With the imp.
Yes. So maybe by them killing off Selmy, it'll be Jorah that takes on that role when the crazy shit happens at, what town are they in now? Marine?
In Marine. Because Selmy doesn't die in the book, right?
Oh, man, he fucked shit up. He's the man.
And they got that pit fighter guy who doesn't exist in the show.
Yeah.
The guy who cuts his stomach and shit.
Yeah. Good, good, good.
Very good. More varies.
Yeah. I want Littlefinger and varies.
Are we going to see varies anymore now that he doesn't even have the imp?
Nope, he's done.
Well, that makes me sad.
He's going to go hide in a closet with a crossbow.
Oh, yeah.
Like a jack in the box.
Maybe, if they make that character a thing. Mm-hmm. That character looks like he left.
Okay, yeah. He's at the Rock, man.
That's right.
Yeah. So, here's another thing. The High Sparrow. He's got some power. I don't quite understand if... So the king gave these crazy religious nut jobs an army. You know, they have their power to have some kind of law over sinners. I don't get why he can't just revoke that. You know what I mean, Jellybean? You got these fucking crazy people with their heads all cut up, going around beating the shit out of peasants. Why can't he just dismantle them? Disassemble dead.
Right. Disassemble dead. I think it's just their way of showing us that, you know, Tommen is going to have to choose between his mom and his wife.
Very good. Very good.
I think he's going to put the nail in the coffin on one of them, and Cersei is not doing things to his penis like Marcella is.
Yeah,
he's not Marcella. Marjorie.
He's like, will you be back? She's like, I gotta go be with my family. We have all been young boys that liked girls, and we know how easy it is to be swayed.
They have magic powers.
They do.
True statement.
Women are the devil.
I wouldn't say that.
They're painted faces.
Whew. We certainly don't think clearly when we're in their presence.
And they know that.
The lights.
They spray their pheromones all over our face.
Yeah.
At least that's what I was told it was.
I gotta pay extra for that.
Tasted like pee, but I'm told it was pheromone.
Yeah. Made my skin glow.
Yeah. Thought I was pregnant? Anyway. Where are we at? Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
What did you guys... I was kind of bored. It had its moments. It put some pieces in play, which I thought was great, but I was not happy with the ending.
No. Yeah, I was pretty sad that Barristan the Bold took it.
Yeah, the man's been around forever. He's been fighting for like 40 decades. Four decades. 40 years.
Yeah. And he sang with Rhaegar, the Mad King.
Right. Now, that's another thing that was called into question. You know, Sansa said, yeah, he kidnapped her and raped her and all this stuff. But for all we know, he was it was an arrangement to be married to the Princess of Dorne, and he was really in love with a Stark.
Yeah, because Selmy is like our best link to the Targaryens.
Yeah, everyone else is dead.
Yeah, or is skewed, like Jaime. You know, Jaime was the Kingsguard too, but you know.
He was a boy, though.
Yeah. And Rhaegar hated the Lannisters.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Randy.
Yes, sir.
You have a list for us, a special list, mind you.
I have a special list. This one actually comes at the request of one of our loyal listeners, Lanyard. That's at Lanyard73 from Twitter, said, I'm sorry, but I can't name one Versus movie that's ever been good. Batman vs. Superman doesn't look like an exception. Here's a list idea. 10 worst Versus movies. Well, Lanyard, I'm sorry, buddy. I couldn't find 10 because I don't think there are 10. But what I could find is 5. And I found this fun list courtesy of Westword.com. And this is the 5 worst Versus movies of all time. So the first one I'm going to mention is actually 2 movies. You guys can probably guess what it is just from that hint.
AVP.
AVP 1 and 2, which came out in 2004 and 2007, respectively. A lot of people took issue with it because it seemed to fly in the face of established alien continuity and the fact that the second movie took place in freaking Colorado, of all places. It just made it a lot less interesting than an Alien versus Predator movie could be. And considering how popular the comic series was and how much hype there was, especially around the first movie, I think it was a letdown to a lot of fans. Personally, I didn't think it was that bad.
I enjoyed the first one. Yeah, I was a little sad that two Predators died so quickly, but... when it was all
said
and
done. Yeah, they went down like punks at the beginning, right?
Yeah, when it was all said and done, I have to say that I smiled throughout the movie.
Yeah, I'm also going to put this out there right now, too. I don't necessarily agree with this list. I was just looking for a list that happened to fit the criteria that Lanyard threw down for us. So, but there's definitely some turds in this one. So I think it balances out nicely. Which takes me to our next one. Ballistic X versus Sever from 2002, starring Antonio Banderas and Lucy Liu. Did you either of you guys even see that movie?
Yes.
How terrible was it?
It wasn't that impressive.
Yeah.
Isn't Sean Bean in that movie too?
Maybe.
I'm not sure, movie? But if he is, he probably dies.
I feel like he was in that movie. You know who told me to see that movie? Was who? Jonathan Shea.
Yeah, he didn't have very good taste in stuff.
No. What can you do? Is that the one where they are able to kind of, like, they're fencing with their pistols? Is that movie?
No, you're thinking the Christian Bale, like, the Extends movie?
Or whatever. Oh, yeah, what was that one called? That's the one I'm thinking of.
It's like EX something. It's like Extend. No, Extends is like penis pills.
Yeah, it is.
It's, let me find this.
And if Sean Bean is in the movie, I don't see him in the credits. I'm looking at
Equilibrium.
That could be it.
You know who's fourth build? Ray Park, Darth Maul himself. Bale.
What's number? What's this one, Randy?
Ray Park.
Next versus Sever.
Fourth build. Yeah, Mr. Darth Maul. So that's kind of interesting. Next on our list, and I'm sure this is another one that we all saw, Megapython versus Gatoroid, 2011. This is the small screen team up, or actually it was kind of a versus, of Debbie Gibson and teen 80s Tiffin. Rival Tiffany.
Ooh.
Yeah. On screen together, courtesy of our friends over at The Asylum, purveyors of shitty cinema. Oh, yes.
They only shared the screen for one scene, and it's like this, like, it's like a bake-off at the beach, and they get in this, like, wicked, like, food fight on the beach, the two of them.
I like it's that. Awesome. Oh.
Had you told them 30 years prior that that's what they would be doing with their life at that point in their career, somebody would have eaten a bullet.
They'd be like, well, it's better than mall tours.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's all they ever did was mall tours. You got like a free poster when you went?
Yeah.
Not that I know.
A Cinnabon. Maybe a Wetzel's pretzel.
Yeah, Auntie Anne's. Yeah.
Next on our list, I totally disagree with Freddy versus Jason. Because I actually like that movie. But the particular beef that the person writing this article has is everything up to the final fight, which is actually really cool, just kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of just generic horror movie tropes, just a lot of stuff that we've seen before in previous Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th movies, but it wasn't until the final battle that it actually got cool. Overall, I enjoyed the movie, and I'm not even a horror movie guy, but I enjoyed Freddy vs. Jason.
I enjoyed the shit out of that movie.
Yeah, same thing. I really liked the opening where they kind of retold their origins like really quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool too.
I thought that was dynamite. And some of the deaths were pretty funny. Like the couch sofa where the guy was like all crushed. That was fun. And then the one where the girl was in the locker and the one guy was trying to wake her up and he got blood all over his face because she got stabbed. I don't know. That's kind of cool. I like shit like that.
Well, the last one on our little short list for the day is from 1966, Billy the Kid versus Dracula. And this stars film legend John Carradine, who went on to call it his worst film ever. And the only way you can even procure a copy of it in this day and age is to buy a DVD from a distribution house actually called Cheesy Films.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah.
How sad.
No Godzilla versus on your list, eh?
No Godzilla versus on this list, no.
Yeah.
People like,
but I imagine we probably could have pulled another five, you know, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla.
Right, or a couple more Asylum films like Mega Shark versus Sharktopus or whatever.
True. I think having just one of those Asylum genre films, like creature genre films on here, probably you could just substitute any single one of them for right. That particular one. That one is just an extra train wreck because of those 80s entities that were brought in as some kind of bizarre... I don't know. Is it a promotional thing? Is it to were they actually hoping that would make people want to watch it? I'm not sure.
Maybe I bet it got some people just out of like morbid curiosity. Yeah. Like, yeah, what do they look like?
Yeah, this is true. Kind of like, where are they now? Yeah. Oh,
because Debbie Gibson posed for Playboy, and she was still looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Deborah Gibson. Sorry, she was on like the.
She was Debbie when she was a kid.
Yeah, she grew up. Got naked. It went on Celebrity Apprentice. Donald Trump fired her.
Oh.
It's okay. That? Arsenio Hall won that season.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, he beat Clay Aiken.
What? Joan Rivers won, no?
Yeah, Joan Rivers won. She won, like, the second season. She beat her daughter.
Oh, good. Like,
with her fists.
Her daughter's a piece of work.
I was going to say with a baseball bat. But that's wishful thinking. And that's our list this week, guys.
Dun, 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 dun.
Thanks dun. To @Lanyard73. Fine list idea.
He's actually been plowing through the podcast. Like, every day he's been tweeting us about from, like, 100 episodes ago. So thanks for the binge listening, if that's a thing.
Yeah, that totally is a thing. Every once in a while, when I find a new podcast that I like, I'll go through and I'll start binge listening. And it's really fun when you bring up a topic that's months or years old. Right. But hey, I totally enjoy that. And in fact, I'm going to throw this out there too. If anyone listening right now has any fun ideas for a list or anything that they want to hear us talk about on the show, just email us at info@geeklegacy, or you can always tweet us because that's how we found this one. And seriously, we'll look into it. We'll check it out because you know what? I'm a lazy guy.
And that's true.
The beginning of the week comes around and I have to look for a list to talk about on the podcast. I'm usually scrambling last minute. And if I can mine somebody else's mind to pull a list out of, then hell, I'll totally take you up on it.
You can even send us your own list.
Yeah.
Hell. We actually appreciate that.
We'll come on the show and introduce it.
Yeah, and we won't even shame you.
You can
probably
make a list.
We probably won't shame you.
The top four worst hosts of the Geek Legacy podcast. And hell, we'll read it.
I don't like that one.
I don't like that one either.
Might be number one at something.
Worst or best? I don't know.
Either way, I'll take it. I'll tell you what. No matter what, and no matter how horrible your list is, David will side with you. How about that?
Yeah. If it's against me, he'll.
Unless you don't want me to side with you, you can pick the host that you want to agree with you.
Okay, there you go.
I'm gonna get zero votes. I'm always the outsider.
You're the nice one.
Ganging up on me. Yeah. Generally, I am. Occasionally, I'll pick apart something that you guys enjoy, like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, that's just false. I mean, it's like that's like someone saying that like Star Wars is dumb. It's just we just think it's cute that, like, you want to be a contrarian. Like, nobody doesn't like Guardians of the Galaxy.
There, I can't argue with that.
Somebody else that was kind of meh about it, too, but I don't remember who it was.
Next time
it was Rod. Rod was impressed with Guardians.
He was the only one that sided with me.
Yeah, he said that you and I were a bunch of fucks, Dave.
I think he worked a little bit
in a polite Southern way. He was like, "You are."
Yeah, he's got that Southern charm, but he's like, "I do declare, you guys are fucks."
He was like it better when you guys say it like that.
He was like Jackie Gleason from like The Toy with Richard Pryor.
Oh God. So yeah. Fun stuff. Fun. In fact, if just a reminder, if you go to connectpal.com/thegeekinitiative, when you subscribe to that lovely premium content, you get to dictate the podcast. How about that? So if there's something that you really want us to talk about and just go crazy over, all you got to do is let us know. Sign up and let us know. We'll take care of it.
Seriously, if you want to hear me talking about my Star Wars collection for an hour, say the word. You'll get it. If you want me to shut my mouth and never talk about Star Wars again, I don't know if I could do that. But
I'm like, shit, I'm subscribing right now.
Yeah.
You can even join us. You can hop on and give your 2 cents.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Tell us how horrible we are, and the whole world will hear it.
That would be great. We can resurrect the nerd rage. What was our debate thing?
The nerd off. We had the nerd off. Match.
Yes.
The sweater, no holds barred sweater match between who would win a fight between Freddy Krueger and Heathcliff Huxtable from The Cosby Show. And this was prior to all the scandalous rape accusations. And we totally threw that under the bus. We were like, this guy knows the ins and outs of the human body. And I kind of feel responsible in some way.
Yeah, I straight called him a, like, rapist at one point.
Yeah, and we've actually on the podcast we said, what kind of family show has a doctor, an OBGYN, have his office in the basement where women come over getting sick, and he's got his, like, a double life. He's got his kid doing homework upstairs while he's doing horrible things to women in his basement. That's shady.
Oh my God.
All the signs are there. Shame on America for not recognizing this.
Man, I think I need to binge listen to some of our old episodes because we are prophetic.
We
are predicting the future here.
Yes, we are some Miss Cleos. We got the magic eight ball there.
I think for our premium content, we're going to have to do a Drunken Guardians of Galaxy podcast from Comic-Con where we make Randy watch it.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
That's an idea. A video.
I still haven't seen it again.
He doesn't like Winter Soldier either.
No, he does.
Double feature.
Randy said he doesn't like Winter Soldier. He says it's forgettable. He doesn't remember anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
man.
I can't be friends with him, Justin.
Oh, it's kind of hard. I think we just need to have sex with him. So
I just need to be loosened up. Is that it?
You be
Captain America. I just want to have sex.
You be Winter Soldier. I'll be Guardians of the Galaxy. It'll be like that Randy Quaid film.
Oh, do I have to wear a mask?
You gotta wear a Rupert Murdoch mask, or I guess a Kevin Feige mask.
I want him to wear a mask of me. I want it to be like I'm making love to myself.
Oh.
Done.
Can we do that?
Of course.
That might be fun.
I don't know. If you get enough alcohol in us at Comic-Con, especially at the loft we're going to be staying at.
Oh, it's going to be crowded. There's going to be spectators.
Yeah, we're going to charge. Like,
a lot of people drinking.
Oh, man. We need to get our hands on Viagra. I want to walk around with the biggest erection throughout the entire convention.
Why don't you just get like a dildo or something?
Mexico is pretty close. I don't think you need a prescription when you go there. I think they sell it. I remember seeing it.
But you do need a passport.
You can just go to your doctor and say, hey, I can't get it up. I think he'll prescribe you Viagra.
I don't know if that's...
Yeah, as long as your heart is healthy, I think you're fine.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah,
that's all you have to give you Viagra.
Say, hey, no, but don't
you're of that age.
They may give you like generic Viagra or Cialis. Yeah.
Generic's okay. That's fine. I don't need the blue pill. You put the pill
The pudding.
I think, okay, so there are suppositories, but I think it would be amazing if for erectile dysfunction you had to put the pill inside your urethra. I think that would make it all more exciting.
That would be terrible.
No one would do it. They'd be like, you know, I just want to have sex.
It's like a penile suppository.
That would be so badass.
I can't have anything. There's like a whole subsect of porn about people who put things down there and either electrify it, or like they're like tuning forks and like you hit the end and it like resonates down your shaft.
That's
like,
amazing.
That is like the worst.
Love the God bless the internet.
Oh, pass. That's a hard pass.
That I believe in God, but if there is a God, I want him to bless the internet and all the porn that is involved in said interwebs.
If you don't like it, don't watch it. I'll watch it.
I'll watch it twice.
All of it.
Yeah. I want a little Marty Jr. room with a million TVs, and I want it all on all the TVs.
Just every genre known.
Yes. Even the wiredpword.com.
Yes. Which is what that tuning fork immediately made me think of. I'm not sticking a tuning fork down my junk.
Woo.
And then banging on it.
That'll shake the very foundations of the Van Dykovich.
Oh, man.
Woo.
It'll wake up all your swimmers.
This is, I think it makes them dizzy. They're going to swim in circles. It's going to be a problem.
No, we're doing Thursday at Comic-Con. Thursday night.
Those steampunkers have something like that at one of their booths. They're into that thing.
It's probably leather and made of copper.
Yeah. Get the goggles.
Yeah.
I like the goggles.
Someday we're going to get you a pair of steampunk goggles. We're going to do it. We're going to fully commit to it.
I want them to
get you a whole outfit.
I want them to have a full heads-up display, though, Randy. I want to know people's hit points.
You want Google Glass in your steampunk goggles?
Oh man, I think Google Glass looks so stupid. It looks like swap meet Jordy LaForge.
It's a good thing it didn't catch on.
Yeah, I don't dig it. I think people look silly.
Yeah, you don't see it nearly as much as you did when they first like were testing them and stuff like that.
Right.
I still really like the idea of it.
Yeah, I do too. But I would rather have them in some sweet-looking Ray-Bans or something.
Right, yeah, just disguise it as
like Mission Impossible style.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a sci-fi monocle.
Right.
You know?
It looks dumb.
Give me a real monocle. It'll go with my twisty stash.
I'm on a double monocle.
Yeah. I'll go for the whole Mr. Peanut look. Yeah, a double monocle. I have a monocle in each eye.
Yeah, glasses.
No, like, no, I don't like when they touch my nose or my ears, so I have to wear them like this.
Oh my god, that's so stupid.
Jammed into my eye sockets.
Anyway, I think we're done.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm just going to remind everybody, if you're going to be on the East Coast, specifically in the New Jersey area, our fun little film, Nonstop to Comic-Con, is going to be playing at the Atlantic City Boardwalk Con, and the convention itself runs from May 14th through the 17th. Our fantastic film is going to be playing on Saturday the 16th, right around 3:30 in the afternoon. So if anyone's going to the Kevin Smith panel, feel free to head right on over after that and get your ears and eyes full of a fun little comedy movie about a bunch of geeks trying to go to Comic-Con for the first time. And it's going to be presented by the Geek Fest Film Fest. Yay, fun stuff.
Geek Fest Film Fest. All right.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. All right, then. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Always a pleasure. Remember to check out the other podcasts that we have in our Geek Legacy Network. We have the Pixelated Podcast, where Stephen Janes and I talk about the video games every Friday. It's fun and festive. And then we also have the Comic Corner Podcast, where Jeff and Tyler review comics currently on their pull list, have some fun interviews. That is every other Friday. And also remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, at Geek Legacy, also at the Comic Corner, and at Pixelated Pod. How about that? Visit geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews, and you have a fabulous week.